Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain.
Who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat Al-Qaeda.
All you got to do is start looking around, start thinking for yourself, start investigating things, and you will see it all right there. So you have the power. Humanity has the power. We have the power. Do you want to fight? You better believe you've got one!
Let us never tolerate outrageous conspiracy theories.
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
You're watching The Madness of a Lost Society. November 26, 2010. Black Friday revealed yet further evidence of the complete madness of the populace of our lost society.
In case you didn't hear, the leaders of China and Russia.
China and Russia said that they are renouncing the dollar.
The best way to think of it is a ticking time bomb. At some stage, the dollar will fall sharply.
Now, you might be saying, Neil, what the heck does this mean to me?
As the dollar loses status as the world's reserve currency, as mystery missiles launch just off our shores, as North and South Korea take the world to the brink of war, as the TSA violates all measure of liberty and constitutional rights, and as the U.S. military itself prepares for the coming total economic collapse and breakdown of civil order, this is what Americans care about. Wanton, lustful commercialism, acting like animals fighting over trinkets made by human beings for slave wages. As you watch this horrific video, do you think any of these people own a single ounce of physical precious metal? Any gold? Any silver? Do you think that even one of them understands what the Federal Reserve is, or that the Fed is spending them into oblivion and economic slavery? Do you think even one among them has made any preparations at all for the day when there is no food on grocery store shelves? And do you think the morally bankrupt executives at Target or Walmart even care? This is what we've become. A decadent, mindless culture who, by virtue of this complete and willful ignorance, are now officially complicit in the crimes being perpetrated against us. Do you think these people who behave like animals, literally trampling each other over $198 laptops and $10 toasters, will even pause for a moment to consider their actions before they riot and burn entire cities when the days of hyperinflation finally arrive? When the grocery stores are bare? When they are truly desperate? This, my friends, is what a dumbed-down, morally bankrupt, completely broken society looks like, and this is how it behaves. No outrage over the bankers raping them. No outrage over their gutted industry. No outrage over their plundered dollar. Just blind, wanton stupidity. Just bread and circuses. The elite are social Darwinists. and they believe what they can get away with is fair game as long as we allow it. This is social engineering, and they've done it to us by design. They've turned us into animals that they can corral. We are no longer citizens in a republic safeguarded by our elected representatives. We are consumers feeding at a corporate trough managed by officials.
Will you tell the American people to whom you lent $2.2 trillion of their dollars?
Hundreds and hundreds of banks, any bank or that has access to the U.S. Federal Reserve System.
Tell us who they are.
No.
If this is America, who will stop them? Our entire system is corrupt and needs to be dismantled and begun anew. But from what base? If what happened on Friday across America is any indication of the condition of the American populace, then our very foundations are built of sand. May God forgive us for what we've become and for what we've allowed to happen to our nation. And may those of us with the courage and sense to do it renounce this behavior and the monstrous marketing ploy that is Black Friday in its entirety. This, my friends, is not us. We are the Republic. We are the informed. We are the proactive ones. And it is our job to lift up those who are lost. And saving our Republic is a full-time job. May God bless the Republic.
Yes, may God bless the Republic. All right, Joseph Gibson here, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina. Oh, we're wacky weather. Let me tell you, 2 days ago, it was 91 degrees. 91 degrees. Today, it is 52 degrees. That is 39 degree difference, folks. Tell me people are not going to get sick. We're out there in shorts and tank tops. All right, well, yesterday was 84 degrees. I'm just using the example of the most hottest, which was 2 days ago. And today, it's 52 degrees. Wacky weather, let me tell you. And it's raining and it's cold. Let me tell you, when you're at 91 degrees and you're walking around and it's hot and you got the air conditioner going in your car, okay? And then the next day, you got the heat going in your car early in the morning. Let me tell you something, that's quite a switch and a change. I don't know, I think North Carolina's got the most wackiest climate ever. Wackiest climate ever. I mean, that's quite a switch up, quite a change. But anyway, I want to welcome everyone to the program tonight. I was not really going to do a show tonight, but we skipped Thursday already. I had to bring a family member to the airport, so the day before, so I didn't want to do a show and get everything going in. So I was going to skip today because Friday night was quite a scary night. My wife here had an attack, a painful attack in her right side, and we didn't know if her appendix exploded or bursted or it was a kidney infection or what had happened. And, you know, at the top of the hour here, it was pouring rain. And the wind's blowing. It was very scary, you know. It's 12:30 at night, and what do? You know, you can't drag two kids out, you know, down dark country roads to bring someone to the hospital because you're asking for trouble, you know, because all the drunks are out at that time. All the drunks are running around, and it's raining, and it's windy, and, you know, you just don't know. So we call the paramedics, and the paramedics, of course, take 25 minutes to get here. 25 minutes to get to my home. 25 minutes. I timed them. It was probably 23 or 24, but I'm just rounding it off. It was 25 minutes. Okay? They don't even come with sirens. They park at the end of the road because they can't find the house. So I'm out there with a flashlight in the pouring rain, flagging them down. Finally, they're like, "Oh, there he is. Put the beer away, Mary. Put the wine away." And they come in the house. They act like they don't want to take her to the hospital. They're like, "Are you sure you really want to go to the hospital? That's work for us." You know? That's what it sounded like, in a way. Let's work for us. Are you sure you just want to lay there and be okay and be in pain and vomiting and rolling over on the floor and you can't stand? Are you sure that we could just leave you this way? Oh, why? This is what the paramedics do. She's going to the hospital. They don't come out with a stretcher. We got to walk her in the pouring rain. Carry her, basically. Put her in the ambulance. And who knows what happened after that. You know, and I'm going to tell you right now, America is lost. You really are. But I'm sure if she was a black woman or a Hispanic woman, you know, they would have ran right to her side. Or if she was a gang member wounded from a gunshot wound, they'd be there with the news cameras and be ready to go, right? Am I right? That's right, I'm a racist. Call me whatever you want, you scumbags. I'm just saying, what I saw Friday night was disgusting from our medical care system. Disgusting. Disgusting. At least from the paramedic side of the story. The paramedics were disrespectful, and I'm going to be writing a letter of complaint to this these paramedics. They were unprofessional. And it actually made me even worry. I'm like, what the hell kind of care is she going to be in? Well, the hospital apparently did do a good job. They scanned her, did every kind of scan they could. And apparently it's going to be a gallbladder problem. And I've already talked to certain family members that have had this problem over years past. And eventually, I hate to say it, she'll probably have to have her gallbladder out. I mean, which is a simple procedure, but... You know, time will tell. We don't know. But what I'm trying to say is our healthcare system is dwindling, folks. And it starts at the paramedic. It's dwindling. They have an attitude. They have an attitude that you know, their job is to help. What is a paramedic's job? To come there and rescue you and bring you to a doctor, not try to talk you out of going to a hospital. For God's sake, what the hell is wrong with people nowadays? Absolutely disgusting. Our healthcare system is disgusting. Trying to talk somebody out of going to the hospital. They're doubling over in pain, can't breathe, getting ready to vomit, and they're talking them out of going to the hospital. We didn't call you out here so we can drink coffee together or have a beer. The paramedics were totally unprofessional. Totally unprofessional. And they drove so slow up to the driveway, I ran faster than their ambulance. They sat there at the end of the road because they couldn't find the house. Don't you have GPS, you assholes? Excuse my language. I got to flash my porch light to get the ambulance to find my house. You know what it was? It was pouring rain out, and they didn't want to do the job. That's what it was. It was pouring rain out and windy, and you had a dyke and a queer driving the car, driving the ambulance, and they wanted to go back at the huddle house and have a burger or whatever the hell they were doing. They didn't want to have to work like most North Carolinians and most Americans today. I will be writing a letter. The hospital, apparently, from my understanding, from testimony of my wife, that they did do a good job. They did examine her clearly. But apparently, it must be the gallbladder that caused it. Thank God it wasn't an appendix that burst. Thank God she wasn't having a heart attack. She'd be dead by the time the ambulance got here. 25 minutes for an ambulance to get here at 12 midnight. Well, I understand they probably had to dodge the drunk drivers down the road, you know, and Sheriff Roscoe Pico train pulling somebody over for a seatbelt ticket. You know, I'm pretty sure. But I know that, you know, the gallbladder is an easy procedure. I spoke with my grandmother. She had that procedure, oh, God, what was it, 25 years ago, 30 years ago? And it was more difficult back then. They had to cut you, actually, back then. Today, they don't even cut you open. So, well, we'll see what happens. So that's why we were not probably going to have a show tonight. And we get back to the healthcare system in our country here today. It is very important for us to have qualified nurses and doctors. And it is very important. That's why the healthcare bill and the things we talk about is so very important, folks. You just don't get it. When you get older, you need healthcare. You're going to need it. We've got to fix this problem. And these snowflakes out there just don't get it. They don't get it. So that's what happened on Friday night here with my home front here. A story that I needed to tell. And fortunately, right now, everything's going well. And like you said, what do you do? What do you do? When people out there who are elderly or people who are middle-aged, you know, what do? When you have to rely on the ambulance to come get you, you collapse in pain, you know, you're at their beck and call. You expect a timely response. What do you do? You know, you're sick, you're unhealthy, you're on medication, the doctors are poisoning you. I mean, what do you do? Do you listen to the doctors or you listen to these people that talk about, hey, there's natural cures out there, blah, blah, blah. You know, you should take more vitamins, you should do this, you should eat healthy, blah, blah. What do you do? There has to be an answer somewhere down the road. There has to be an answer. And there's a lot of people on the show here tonight that are sickly on medication, people who are elderly. I mean, there's people here on this show that are 86 years old right now listening. And I'm sure they're afraid for their health. What do you do when you become sick? Can you rely on the medical system that we have today, our hospitals? Can you rely on it? God knows, can we rely on our family members to help us? Well, mostly not, especially the younger generation. Oh, Lord. Even though 12 midnight, where we had to call an ambulance, most of them are out and about that time. But they're freaking drunk. You know, so or high or whatever the hell they're doing. You know, but what I'm trying to say is, if you're 80 years old plus, pretty darn scary. You know, you see, I'm old enough right now to recover from something like that. I'm able to take care of my children. It'd be scary. You know, we're able to recuperate from these types of emergencies and accidents. You know? We're still there. We're still in our 40s and late 30s. We're okay. But what about the people that are out there in the late 70s and 80s? Imagine how scared they must be about Medicare and Medicaid and their prescription drugs and what they have. You know, I mean, just imagine how scared they must be. Younger people out there need to understand. You know, and I fear for my grandparents out there who have got to rely on their doctors, and their doctors don't give a damn about them. We know that, even though they take a Hippocratic oath that says, shall do no harm, even though they're doing harm the moment you walk into the office. So, you know, what do we do about this? How can we combat this problem here? Medical care is essential to any public society out there or any community out there. Medical care is an essential need for all of us out there in society. You know, it's scary when you're sick and you don't know what's wrong with you. All of us have been there. I myself was stabbed. I myself received a slashed throat. And, you know, but that's a different story. But still, I needed medical care, and I relied on doctors to help me. You know? And all of us one day are going to have to rely on a doctor to help us, even if it's whether or not burying us and putting us in the ground to die. The Undertaker, for God's sake. Who knows? All of us are going to have some sort of medical care one way or the other. So that is why medical care is so very important today to all of us. You know, right from the day you're born, you need medical attention, and until the day you die. Imagine, just think about that. The day you're born, who are you held by other than your mother? A nurse, a doctor, right? And the day you die, who are you held by? A nurse or a doctor? Very interesting, isn't that? The day you're born and the day you die. And hopefully not in between, but a lot of people in between also. They get sick, they have cancer, blah, 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 you know, whatnot. But the fact of the matter is, no matter where you are in life, the day you're born, you're held by a nurse or a doctor. You are seen by a nurse or a doctor. And the day you die, you are seen by a nurse or a doctor to declare you're dead or to treat you until you die. Fact. Fact. You can't deny that. Isn't that interesting? So why not address this medical situation and Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and nurses and doctors' care and convalescent homes all in one? We need to do a show on this and bring nurses and convalescent care workers and doctors onto this program and really do it. I mean, you can't do it in a two-hour show, but we can address it and have some sort of resolution where we've got to fight the system, man. Healthcare is not a political issue. It is a human issue. It is a people's issue. It's not politics. These Republicans and Democrats are screwing with your life. What did I just tell you? When you are born, you see a doctor or a nurse. When you die, you see a doctor or a nurse. Fact. For God's sake. Isn't that important enough to you out there? All right, well, I've done my introduction here tonight, and I didn't advertise the program tonight. It wasn't going to be a program, but I just wanted to have a quick 20-minute say here. And I do have other topics I'm going to talk about, and a lot of other people may not be interested in those topics. And I'm going to go on other shows to talk about them, actually. But if anyone has something they want to talk about or address here tonight, like I said, I didn't advertise the show, so therefore I don't have the following that I usually have on the program. So I'm going to scan the numbers, and I do have a few callers on the line here tonight. I got a bunch, and I got about a dozen in the chat room, and I've got about a dozen on Facebook messaging me. So, and one message here on Facebook is Donald Trump's going to fix the health. Yeah, okay. Donald Trump's going to fix the health care. Okay. Well, yeah, hey, more power to him. If he is, great. All right, but we'll get to my first one here, area code 203. Go ahead, you're first, and then the private number, I'll get to you next. Go ahead, area code 203.
Good evening. This is Bitbanker in Meriden. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear about that and that problem. You know, you say you're in your 40s, and I don't know how old she would be, but that's a little bit young to be coming up with these problems, gallstones, although not uncommon. And it's like you said, you're complaining about the health system and all that, and you're absolutely right. And you'll be complaining about the health system until the day you die, because that's the way it's set up. And that's why you have to learn to look after your own health and take care of it yourself. We've talked about herbs and medicines and drugs time and time again. And you're absolutely right. And I've said it before. You go in to see a doctor, and you've got a bacterial infection or you've got a virus. They'll identify it, and they will kill it with a drug. You go into your doctor, and you've got a broken bone or fractured bone. They'll set it, they'll fix it, and it will heal. You go in there with poisoning, like with gallstones. They don't really know what to do. They'll let them pass. Gallstones are easily removed. They're basically a common symptom of a very poor diet. And or like me, when I had them, from taking too many vitamins and experimenting with them. One of the easiest and most common cures for gallstones is real ginger root soda. That's the most common cure. Help your blood, help your kidneys, help your liver, filter your blood and things like that. And there's also some other teas you can make out of herbs that'll help pass the stones or dissolve the stones. And of course, the stones are generally calcium. And so ascorbic acid, being an acid, will neutralize the stones and make them shrink or or come out on their own. So there are solutions to these problems, but the medical solution to this problem is, based on my first three scenarios there with the medical profession, is to remove the gallbladder, because that's the easiest, of course. We can do that. We're good at taking things out. We're just not good at healing them. But generally speaking, when you take your gallbladder out, a decade down the road, you wind up with severe other symptoms of some kind or other, generally speaking. So taking it out is not the fix. It's only a temporary fix. But that's what I got to say on that subject.
What do you mean it's a temporary fix? What kind of symptoms will someone receive or get after their gallbladder is removed?
I don't know. It would just depend on the person, I guess, and their diet. Some people don't get any symptoms, and they have it removed, and they just live a happy life after that. But for generally speaking, I think if you search that out on Google yourself or whatever, I haven't, so I'm just going off of memory, you'll find that other symptoms appear and other problems appear within a decade after having it removed, because it's in your body for a reason. So the way to prevent having it removed is cure it now, and you can cure it like the easiest cure, and the best cure of all, like I said, is real ginger root soda, because you have fun drinking it. You can make yourself dandelion tea that helps you pee and everything else and helps your blood. Peppermint is a good one.
Yeah, but where do they find this stuff? Where can they get this stuff at? Yeah, those are all great names, but you're not going to get it at your local Food Lion. So where can they find this stuff?
You're going to get it at your local Food Lion, your local Stop and Shop, your local grocery store. You may not find marshmallow root or dandelion leaves there. If you want a dandelion leaves, what you do is you stop putting down that Monsanto Roundup that kills the weeds, that kills the dandelions, and you go out and you pick your own dandelions from your lawn and you dry them out and you save them for this particular purpose, because God didn't put them there so that you could go out there with a Roundup that they're finding now that is causing severe problems in mankind after decades of being on the market. Stay away from that stuff. Monsanto should be ashamed of itself for putting that thing on the market to begin with. But, you know, Oregon grapes, marshmallow root, dandelion leaves, dandelion roots, dried, of course, peppermint, spearmint, the mint family, ginger ale soda. You know, stay away from that white refined sugar, too, when you put it in there, because you want it to taste good. You know, everyone eats this stuff because they say, that's what I like. Well, that's what you like. Well, this is what happens when you eat things you like. But you can eat things you like and not kill yourself later down the road. That's what I'm saying. But gallstones at a younger age are not uncommon, but they're rare. I've had them, but like I said, I've done it to myself, and it is painful. It's very painful. So then you search out the cure, and that's my talk on that subject.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and bring Mike on. I believe this is Mike from Wisconsin. I don't know. He's a private caller, so I believe this is Mike from Wisconsin. Mike, is that you, Mike? Hello?
Yeah, Mike from Wisconsin. Good evening, everybody.
Before you begin, anyone else who wants to contribute tonight, like I said, the show isn't going to take the full 90 minutes, but unless we get other people who want to chip in tonight. So press 1, only one time, because I saw a couple of people press 1, they press it again. Press 1, one time, and hey, you could chip in and give some advice maybe to anyone out there, or even me, give some advice. It's welcomed. So go ahead, Mike, the floor is yours, uninterrupted. Go ahead, I won't interrupt you. Go ahead.
Okay, Joe. Well, I'd like to... You wish your wife a fast recovery. You know, being in pain like that and having no way to get rid of it, you know, that's a frightening thing, you know. You're absolutely right about the medical system. I would also like to thank your mother coming and helping you while you had this problem. It was very, very nice of her to do that, and it's really nice of a family to step up when things like this happen, you know, instead of hiding in the basement like this generation does.
Amen. Thanks, Mike.
Talking about healthcare, I mean, you know, I deal with it all the time. And the one thing that they love to do is if you have to go to the hospital for any reason, they love to have, you know, I'm going to send in such and such to see you tomorrow. He's a specialist in whatever. And then, you know, he comes in and shakes my hand, you know, takes my blood pressure and says, well, okay, well, have a good day. And out he goes, you know, and, you know, there's a $240 charge to, you know, my hospital room. And, you know, I saw the guy for 5 minutes and he actually did nothing. And this happens many, many times while I'm in the hospital recovering from whatever I had. And it's like, you know, I really think Donald Trump is trying his best. I mean, you know, when you take a product that is one third of your entire budget, government budget, you know, it's gonna take time to fix. I think they overshot their bounds. Now they have to come back and, you know, try to do something different or you know, try to fix it a different way. But yeah, healthcare, you know, it really is strange. Like up here in Wisconsin, when Obamacare finally gets voted down and it's out, you know, me, I'm disabled. So what is going to happen to somebody like me that usually is on state insurance? You know?
Mike, not to interrupt you. I promise not to interrupt you, but Mike, real quick so the listeners know, how long did it take you to get what you were promised in life, your Social Security benefits? What did you have to do to fight for those? You know, I mean, isn't that disgusting of this government? They promise you your Social, they steal the money out of your paycheck. They just take it without your permission. And then when you become disabled or you become of age, they fight with you to give it to you. And, Mike, I know you went through a battle because we've talked about this on this show. You know, I mean, these are things we need to address as the media out there, alternative media. I'm glad you brought that up. But go ahead, continue on. If you want to talk about that, that's great.
Okay. You know, I'm a little bit beside myself. You know, like these Planned Parenthood clinics and things like that. All I know is from what I hear in the news that, you know, all they do is abortions. But, you know, and then again, I watch a television show, you know, like I did this morning, Sunday morning, and I guess those clinics do a heck of a lot more than just abortions. So, you know, I'm...
Do they really? Mike, that's hang on. That's controversial, actually. You're right. All I've heard is they do abortions, too. Mike, you and I need to talk about that because Planned Parenthood is in the news big time, and I don't support Planned Parenthood at all, but if you're saying that you're changing your mind about Planned Parenthood, maybe we need to talk a little bit about this and maybe get some evidence out there, because if you're right, I'll agree you're right, because I have an open mind, but I disagree with abortion, though. I don't believe in killing babies. I just don't believe in it. You know? Do you understand where I'm getting at here?
Yeah, I'm basically on the same page. You know, and you know, I guess, you know, I'm not God, so I can't make the final decision. But you know, if you're going to have a child, and by having that child is going to, you know, affect your life or you'll die, you know, I guess I have a second thoughts on that, you know, position. But I just don't think you should have an abortion because you I just don't want it anymore. I mean,
well, you have adoption. You have adoption. Adoption is available.
You can always put your child up for adoption if you're unable to take care of it. Why kill it? What, you know, there's many children out there who have survived adoption and became great people in society. Why kill a life? You know, and we're not talking about a cat here. We're not talking about a squirrel. We're talking about a human life. You know, and nobody has that right to make that decision that that innocent life has to die. And then people bring up the death penalty. Well, people have a right to kill people when it comes to the death penalty, right? Okay. Well, guess what? They kill a baby didn't kill anybody. Abortion is a very hot subject, very hot topic. And Mike from state of Wisconsin, Mike, I want to say the things you brought up tonight are the political issues you brought up tonight are awesome. We're talking about health care. We're talking about Donald Trump. Now we're talking about abortion. And anyone else who wants to chip in tonight, to the we got about 20 callers on the line. I know I just had Bitbanker on the line from Meriden, Connecticut. I'm here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And everyone is welcome to chip in. All you got to do is when you call in, press the number one. And I'll get you on. I don't screen calls. I say this every 10 to 15 minutes on my show because people are afraid that I'll screen them and not allow them to talk. You have a right to talk on this program. We're not like other blog talk radio shows. Whatever you want to talk about, I will allow you to share your thoughts and opinions and stories. As long as you're not a crank caller, because we get those sometimes too, Mike, right? I mean, and I know, Mike, you're a supporter of the program. These people will call in and start swearing, and I just can't allow. I'm sorry. So if you got an opinion or a thought on tonight's program or the subjects we're talking about, or if you have a story you want to share, by all means, call in. The phone number is 657-383-0616. Press the number one, and I will allow you to speak. And I will, I promise, I will. The floor, without you, there is no show. But Mike, out in Wisconsin, we're talking about Planned Parenthood right now. Go ahead, carry on. Carry on, Mike.
Thanks, Joe. Before I forget, my brother told me recently that he took an airline flight. And this is within the last couple of days or so. And I guess they offered him a voucher to get off the plane. And I'm just wondering if, you know, was there any trouble? I mean, were people popping up?
Well, that's good, Mike. Let's ask, because your brother's on the line tonight, a Bitbanker. You're still on the line. Can you explain the situation of what happened? And again, anyone else who wants to jump in the conversation, you know, it doesn't particularly have to be, and I see people typing in the chat room also, and I see Bridget Pruitt typing, very good. I'm glad she's active in the chat room tonight. Bitbanker's in the chat room, many other guests, and I got people on Facebook also. Like I said, this is your show, guys. Whatever you want to talk about, you're more than welcome. Press the number one, and you'll be on the line. I will connect you, I promise. Bitbanker, you want to talk about your flight from North Carolina to Connecticut? Mike wants to know. How did it go? You were accused of being a terrorist, I guess.
Well, we could put it all in a nutshell too. But out of 97 Planned Parenthoods contacted, only 5 actually performed prenatal services. So I guess there was a little bit of truth in every lie. So we're never going to know the real truth about that, but to each his own.
Hang on, Bitbanker. So you're addressing what Mike said about Planned Parenthood, that they just don't perform abortions. They actually do help single mothers or parents out there with services. What kind of service? I mean, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, according to this article that was written a couple of months ago by Palmer Williams, he indicates that 5% actually perform other services. So I guess that's their reasoning for keeping the funding going, because 5% of them actually do maybe what they say. So like I said, there's a little bit of truth in every lie. So if they're saying that, and then half of those people are actually lying, then it's only 2.5%. So we're really never going to know the truth. Just like the politicians, you know, I read a good article or a joke today about a politician, and they call them a post turtle. You know, they want to know why they call them a post turtle. Because there's no way the turtle could have got up to the top of that post on its own. It has no way to get down, and it has no idea what it's doing. And that's what the politicians are, post turtles. They were put up there by somebody else. They don't know what they're doing, and they don't know how to get out. So that's that.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's right. And everyone, again, like I said, if you want to contribute to the program before I get back to Mike, or BitBanker. BitBanker's going to talk about his flight here, where he was actually labeled a terrorist, the TSA there. But anyway, anyone else who wants to contribute tonight, you can contribute in the chat room. Like I said, I won't kick you off. I'm not like other blog talk shows. I don't censor people. I don't edit people. So, and the call-in number 657-383-0616 to listen. Press the number 1. If you want to be on the program or ask a question or speak, press 1, and I promise I'll get you on. Go ahead, BitBanker, tell us about your flight to Philadelphia, or from Philadelphia to Connecticut. That's very interesting, actually. Go ahead, BitBanker.
Well, when I left Greensboro, of course I got there early, and to make everyone happy and keep everyone away from me, of course I wore the smelliest, oldest, dirtiest clothes I possibly could, so no one would come next to me and talk to me. But going through the backscatter teleporter download system that they want you to go through, so that they can scan every inch of your body and everything like that, I really didn't want to go through that, so they had me just walk through the regular metal detector, and that seemed to go fine. But the gallbladder thing is where I'm going with this, because I had some powdered vitamins in my bag, because I refuse to take those pills that are actually glue to hold everything together. So I buy vitamins in bulk, and that's where my problem came years ago with the gallstones. But they thought it was an explosive, and of course, since I was the only one there and it was early, there really wasn't.
Wait a second. They thought your vitamins were explosives?
Yeah, they thought they were explosives. So of course, they immediately surrounded me and wanted me to stand there and everything. And it's like I told them, where the hell do you think I'm going to go? You know, I'm in an airport. You know, it's five miles to the front door. You know, so anyway, they were actually very nice about it, but they're just doing their job. They were actually very nice about it. Then they were very polite and everything, but it's just the way it's done. You know, they seize your belongings and they're going through them and taking them out and dumping them out, and they're checking them with, I don't know, some sort of cardboard card or electronic device. I really don't know. And after it was all done and everything, they really didn't come to a conclusion on what it was, but they said that that's what they thought it was. It was the powdered vitamins. So it was only, I don't know, 10 minutes, 12 minutes or something like that I was detained. But after that, I went through and I boarded the plane, and I went to Philadelphia. That's right. And, you know, it's a 2-hour and 45-minute flight or so from Greensboro, you know, to New Haven, Connecticut. You know, 2 hours and 45 minutes. You know, so but the whole flight.
I lost you for a minute there. I lost you.
Well, I'm still here. If you can hear me.
I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, it's about a 2-hour and 45-minute flight from Greensboro to New Haven. You know, but this takes 9 hours, because you know the most dangerous parts of flying are takeoffs and landings. So we have to make sure we do as many of those as possible to avoid any conflict. You know. So I had to sit for like 4.5 hours in the Philadelphia airport. And during that time, the planes that fly into Tweed, New Haven, they're smaller planes. They're prop planes, so they don't hold that many people. But they were concerned that the plane would have been too heavy. So they were asking people and asking me if, you know, a voucher. It started off at a couple $300, and then it went up to a $1,000 voucher, a free hotel room, and a guaranteed flight the next morning to New Haven. And
sounds
of course
good to me.
I would have took it.
Sounds good to me.
Well, I refused it, because I don't want to spend the night in Philadelphia. I don't even want to spend the night in Meriden, Connecticut, but unfortunately I live here, so I have to. But that's beside the point. And the weather was bad because going from there to New Haven, I thought for sure something was going to go wrong. I've been in many plane rides, but this started dropping from the sky and back and forth. And the doors where you get in and out, I could hear the wind howling through it and everything, and it was just shaking away. But that was only temporary. But it was a very exciting time. So the whole ordeal.
Hang on, Bitbanker. Hang on before you wrap it up. You know what I want to do? Why are the airlines, and we talked about this, Bitbanker, if I believe we did. You know, we had school shootings. They were on the news every single week. Remember, schools are being shut up, colleges. And then it was ISIS. And then it was this. Then it was that. Then, you know what I mean? But now it's the airlines. The airlines. The guy gets dragged off the flight. Now everyone's getting vouchers. Even you get a voucher. We talked about this. What are you going to do if you get a voucher? Well, it just happens you got a $1,000 voucher. You know, tell me. Why does news go in cycles? And I want to call the airlines and find out, why is the news media paying attention to you? Is this a normal practice where this is happening? You know, and not to interrupt you, what I'm saying is what's going on here? We're talking about North Korea one day, we're going to nuclear war. Then we're talking about Syria. Then we're talking about school shootings. Then we're talking about Trayvon Martin. Then we're talking about the riots in Ferguson. And then we're talking about, you know what I mean? It seems like it's all one big hoax to keep our minds distracted from what is really going on out there. Like the health care bill. It was, you know what I mean? But Bitbanker, go ahead, because I want to wrap up the program here tonight. And if anyone else, and I'm going to give Bitbanker a couple minutes and then Mike, and then let's see here. I got two callers that just chipped in here. 336, 423. Oh, no, they just hung up. All right, hang on. All right, one other. All right, 443. All right, let's see if he hangs up. I'm going to go ahead and connect him, Bitbanker. Stay on the line, stay on the panel. Mike, I don't recognize this number, so hopefully it's not a crank caller. 443, go ahead. You're on Block Talk Radio with Joseph Gibson. How you doing?
Hey, Joseph, this is Brother Mercy from Black
Radio. How
are
you doing?
Yeah,
yes, how
are
you doing,
friend? I just wanted to say that, I mean, everything's going on. You look at North Korea, you look at Russia. I mean, Russia's in the background of that. I hope people pay attention to that. Russia and China is in the background with that North Korea scandal. Because that could get ugly over there. That could get ugly. And especially the Syria thing, and, you know, of course they're not accepting our currency right now. The U.S. is not, I mean, they're not accepting the U.S. currency in Syria right now because of the, you know.
Hang on, brother. This is news to me. You're telling me that they're not accepting the United States currency over there in Syria or China right now?
No, just Syria.
Just Syria. Okay, don't get it twisted. Everybody loves our money, isn't it?
No, but the reason why they don't accept that currency is because you know we dropped that bomb over there. We dropped the bomb over there, Syria. So that's why they don't accept our currency. And then, you know, the different things of that nature. And then you talked about the health care, the abortions, and different things like that. But I mean, I really believe there's more at stake than all of that. I mean, I really the economy. I think it's what it's taking. Education, I think it's what it's taking. Education, the economy. People, I still don't feel probably not getting their pay. And then the taxation. I mean, look at how much we're paying in taxes, man. I mean, I think that's
Listen, my friend. You rent a car or you rent a piece of equipment. Why do you have to pay a sales tax when you rent a piece of equipment? There's no sale. So why should you pay a sales tax, right?
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about income tax. I'm talking about why we got to pay an income. Why I got to pay the government 30% of my money out of my check? 30%? I mean, come on, man.
No. 37%, my friend. 37%
okay.
of your income
okay,
goes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay?
Thank you for the correction. But, 37%. My point is this. What are they doing with all that money, man? What are they doing with 37% of
our
money?
They're building bridges in Russia. My friend, listen to me. This is what I wanted to make. I'm not going to cut you off. I want you to continue. But first, you just brought me to a very important point. Everyone, listen, pay attention. And I hope BitBanker will help me with this. I want to do a five-part series. It's only going to be a couple minutes long because I know the snowflakes out there can't listen for more than 5 or 6 minutes because they got to go on Facebook or go on their cell phones, okay? But we're going to do an educational program on the Federal Reserve, what this gentleman just spoke about, which he is knowledgeable about. He understands the truth about taxation without representation and this illegal income tax that they put on us. And I want to do a five-part series, not me. It's an audio. It's going to be an audio. We're not going to do Jekyll Island because Jekyll Island's kind of dry and we'll lose a lot of people. But I want to do more or less a five-part series, and I'm going to send this to BitBanker. And it's going to be about every show from tonight on, And I'm going to broadcast it about maybe 20 minutes into the show because I know some people don't like to listen to my introduction. 20 minutes into the show. We're going to go ahead and do about 5, 6, 7 minutes of the audio. It's going to be about a 5, 6-part series. And we're going to talk about this because the Federal Reserve, sir, my friend here who's on the phone right now, the economy and health care is what we all care about as a people. If we can get this fixed, trust me, we almost fix a majority of the problems in our system. We actually eliminate hate. We eliminate jealousy. We eliminate evil competition and corruption. We eliminate a lot of things if we can fix, you know, the economy and health care and this felonious income tax and this taxation without representation. We're going, you know, history repeats itself. But go ahead, sir. The floor is yours. I just wanted to make that announcement so everyone understands. We're going to have that show starting Thursday. I'm going to try to do it on Thursday, okay? So go ahead, sir.
And then I wanted to say, what is this they're spending our money on? And then I wanted to say, what's up with this Trump thing about this wall? Now he's going to try to shut the government down to get this wall built. I mean, I'm just saying, man, it's just, I really believe there's a lot of stuff going on, and they're trying to spend our money, and they're always trying to spend our money on something. I don't care less about some stupid wall. I want my tax money because I know why the IRS was started. The IRS was never started. It was supposed to be a temporary measure when it was first started. It was not supposed to be a permanent measure for war. And then now, if we could stay out of war, we would have to pay taxes. That's how I see it, because that's how I initially started. So,
I agree with you 100%,
like,
sir. I agree with you 100%.
If nobody's attacking America, if nobody's attacking us, I should have to pay taxes. If nobody's attacking us.
Well, your tax money, listen, I agree with you. Listen, sir, I agree with you 100%, and that's why I'm going to start this educational series here on what the Federal Reserve. You know, your tax money does not pay for any of the services that you think it pays for. You've been robbed.
Right.
You've been lied to. You know, and anyone else who wants to jump in here, I know I got a bunch of people in the chat room, and I'm watching, and people are messaging me on Facebook. Listen, you call in, you can listen, or you can press the number 1 when you call in, and you're not screened. I don't screen callers. Everyone is 100% live. As long as you're not a crank caller, I'll hang up on you, because I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to listen to nonsense, because we're having a serious conversation here tonight about taxes, about money, your money. We're talking about the healthcare system. We're talking about medical conditions. And these are things that all of us are going to have to address one day in the future. And BitBanker, real quick, go ahead, BitBanker. Maybe you want to jump in here.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple things. First of all, I think that they're missing one of the greatest advertising opportunities in all times here for when he dropped that Moab bomb on Syria, Rick James should be promoting his song that you dropped a bomb on me, and that's what he should be doing. But evidently, he didn't think about that. So, and I think the tax rate at 30% is misleading, because I think it would be much higher for most people, because they may tax you with your FICA at 30% or whatever in your check, but then you got the Social Security, you got the Medicare, you got the sales tax. If you buy any alcohol or tires or anything like that, you pay federal tax, and so on and so forth. So I think the tax rate is much higher than that. Go ahead.
But where do our tax dollars go? And that's what I'm trying to tell everyone. We're going to do a series here. It's only going to be about 5 or 6, 7 minutes, maybe 8 minutes long, starting on Thursday. It's going to be about where does your money go? And that's very important, folks. Any of you out there, listen, we need money to barter with. We need money, you know, even though it's illegal, because the Constitution says we should only barter with gold and silver, but yet... I don't know what happened to gold and silver. I guess we're not allowed to trade with that. We use Federal Reserve notes, FRNs. We use fake paper money. Okay? So, therefore, we're going to educate people on what paper money really is. And I'm going to tell you something right now. The bills that they say you owe, you don't owe, my friends. You don't. Look at House Resolution 192. Okay? Read it. Look it up. House Resolution 192. All your debts are forgiven under that resolution, all right? Because we are not under the gold and silver status anymore, okay? And we'll get into that. We're going to educate people on that. I swear, I promise we will. And anyone who wants to contribute tonight about all the subjects we talked about, I don't care what you want to bring up, just press the number 1. Otherwise, I'm going to give these few people a few minutes here to wrap it up, and then we'll wrap up the program. So, Bitbanker, you go first. And hang on, Bitbanker, before you start, everyone else who wants to chip in tonight, you need to press the number 1. Press it once. Just press it once. I see 2 people. All right, I got another one here. Area code 302. Go ahead. You're on the panel. Go ahead.
How you doing there, Joe?
Hey, how you doing? Please, take a couple minutes to speak, because I got a bunch of people on the panel, and we got to wrap up the program. Welcome back to the program. I was wondering where you were, sir.
Well, we all do a little wondering here and there, but we all stay on course. Let me just give it to you rough, rugged, and raw, fast, and furious. The people are the government, and this thing that y'all are talking about is corporate and what we would term foreign governments, right? It has nothing to do with the people. That's one thing that we should know. Because taxation without, and what we do know is that if you go from the local, county, city, state, or federal level, take a few people with you and go to the appropriation and allocation of the budget, everyone will test a lie. I don't care what color they are. So they'll say, Joe and your little crew, we have no appropriations, we have no allocations, we have no budgets. Okay? Now, that's called perjury, because there's massive, massive budgets, even if it's FRNs, massive budgets. It's being misappropriated, misallocated away from the American people to such things as space, the Defense Department, wars, you know, arms and things that really, and then the rest of it is squandered in the theft of the taxation by the tyrants, and they're stealing the money. And you mentioned HJR 192 that was signed June 5th, 1933. There was no credit in this country before HJR 192. And HJR 192 deals with the people. The people was the credit. You know, so now you got...
Amen.
Now you got RICO statutes. You know, you say we're going to get rid of organized crime, but no, you didn't. The federal government mastered organized crime. So now you got this thing where...
They sure did.
You can rent this own, your payday loan, give you your title, your car, you can get some money. But all this is with marked up interest rates. This is what you call loan sharking, people. Your federal, local, county, city, state government is guilty of the very same thing that they said that El Mote, you know, this is our thing. Well, this is the government's thing, yeah. The federal government, which is a criminal against the people. So we're authorizing the bloodless revolution by the people, for the people, of the people. And the revolution ain't black, and it ain't all men. This is about the people who know, not feel, think, or believe, or have an opinion, that they know that they are being led by a handful of warlocking warlord tyrants. Now, if you think I'm telling you a lie, you better look again, because this is not Ripley's, believe it or not. This is Mandela Khan's, believe it. I don't care if the legislature in your local county, city, state, and federal level is black with locks in their hair with fat asses. They are criminals. You understand me? They are criminals. So you can vote for them.
Listen, we know. We know the legislators. We know the governors. We know they are criminals, sir. So please take one more minute, because I want to give everyone one chance to have 2 minutes that have been on the panel, have been so kind to contribute. So go ahead and take another minute. Since you called in late tonight, and wrap up what you got to say, and I want to give everyone else one final chance that's been on the panel, unless we get a new caller, okay? Thank you.
1 minute quickly is, I don't care if you call them shitty council or shitty council, something stinks in there. I don't care if you have ward leaders or representatives in your local county, city, state, municipality. I'm not going all the way to the president. All politics is local. You ever heard that? Y'all ever heard that? Every one of your county, city, states have appropriation and allocation budgetary hearings, and guess what? They're held in like a thing, some secret thing. You know, it's not where it's holistic healing for the mind, body, and soul for the tax citizens, and all of us are taxed out of the kazoo. Matter of fact, we're getting a worse bang for our buck. We're all getting, I won't say that, but you know what the deal is. So I'll tell you this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not playing a whole bunch of games, and I'm not going to keep doing this whole bunch of crosstalk about who's a good guy or a bad guy. The government is the people, and the people are the government, and the government under which it stands is not the people. So we got a decision to make, and we don't have a whole lot of time to make it. So I'll rest that case right there.
Amen. Hey, great. I appreciate you checking back in. I haven't heard from you for a couple shows, so I was wondering where you were, but thank you so much. I'm not going to mute you, because I don't mute people. I don't, but hopefully we can all respect each other. And we're going to go up the line here to wrap up the program here tonight, because I've got so many here who I've got to give a couple minutes to. So the first one is area code 443. Go ahead, 2 minutes. Have your say. Talk about what you want to talk about. Go ahead, 443. Go ahead.
Okay. I wanted to say, is tonight's show only an hour? Hello?
Excuse me? Yeah, we're here. You're here live. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to say, first of all, is that, first of all, what we got to do is I think the things that are in place are probably going to stay in place. I don't think they're going anywhere. I think they're going to keep taking out money. But what we're going to have to do, I guess, is start nonprofit organizations or businesses where we don't have to pay taxes. Because if you keep feeding the system is going to keep getting bigger and bigger. So we got to figure out a way to stop feeding the system, because I just
that's
don't
a good idea.
You
that's
know,
a good idea. Not to interrupt
see,
you, but
I
that's
just,
a good idea.
And so what I'm saying is, because I just feel that we a lot of wars, a lot of stuff would stop. A lot of government agencies, or a lot of agencies, you know, abortion clinics and all that would stop if we stop feeding the system, if they don't have money to pay for the things. Because you can't do nothing if you don't have the money to put to buy it. So I think there's more money for taxes is just not the answer. Because the more money we get these people, the more money they misuse our money, and then the more money they charge us. I mean, and I just feel it's a vicious cycle that keeps going on, and it keeps getting worse. And then, I just wanted to say that. A lot of things that be corrected if we just only thing I agree with Donald Trump is on, especially when it comes to taxes, the fact that he didn't submit his tax return. I think that's more symbolic than anything else. I mean, what if everybody just did what he did, just to submit that their tax
return? I understand.
And, you know,
I understand.
I agree with him there, because I feel like they just been taking our money for too long. And really, we wouldn't be worried about what's going on across the globe in North Korea. We really wouldn't be worried about it. If they didn't have our money, we wouldn't be worried about it. And a lot of stuff we're worried about, we shouldn't be worried about, because we're in everybody else's business. We're trying to police the world all at the same time, and police the local people in our local government, local citizens. We just need to stop policing people. I mean, you know, and then we can, unless they attack America, don't get it twisted, unless they do something to us, you know, then we need to stay out of other people's business until we get our stuff right. Because I just believe the money in my pocket is better than the money in their pocket. And the money in their pocket, like Carlos was saying, end up in other people's pocket that we don't even know. And that's how terrorism gets funded. It don't get funded from us. It gets funded from these government, giving government contracts to foreigners that we don't even know. They do a lot of that stuff, too. So the government gives away our money to other governments. And I'm sick of that, too, you know, because North Korea can't do stuff without us. Can't no country do nothing without us. Okay, what country it is? They can't do nothing without us. We support. You know, we did Russia to break the USSR. All we did was stop giving them money. That's all we did. We just stopped. We just cut down our funding of the USSR, and the USSR broke down. If we stop, if we stop funding people, people will break down. I really believe that's so true. And so that's what we got to do. We fund a lot of stuff that's going on across the world, man. And when we stop doing stuff like that, I think we'll do a better job. But that's just my little 2 cents, my two shekels. I just believe that we just need to stop funding people and just cut off the money. Because if you stop feeding the system will fall apart. That's just my opinion.
Amen. Hey, thank you so much. I'm not going to unmute you. And listen, I'm just giving an example here real quick. Everyone has a say. I'm not going to mute you. Just stay polite, please, and listen to the other two callers that called in tonight. And we got a bunch on the line, but I can't take any new callers because we're going to wrap up the program. And tonight's show, it began with, of course, my wife got taken to the hospital on Friday. We talked about her medical issues and stuff. And thank you for the support, people that sent me messages on Facebook, and I really appreciate that. But, of course, you know, the show goes on here, and I'm going to go ahead and carry on the mic, and then I got Bitbanker, and then we'll wrap up the program, okay? So, Bitbanker, go ahead. You get 2 minutes like everyone else, and I'll give Mike out in Wisconsin. You're next. I apologize. Mike out in Wisconsin. Take 2 minutes, wrap up the program, please, and then Bitbanker.
Okay, Joe. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, fine. Well, I mean, what an interesting show. You know, we start at one topic, and I don't know, we go through a half a dozen of them, which is really great because, you know, you can't say the show's boring. Not at all.
Thank you.
I'm really glad my brother didn't get, searched like they used to do with, you know, those TSAs. And
I'm glad he didn't get waterboarded, huh?
or maybe the even worse than make him eat the food.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, well, I don't really have much more to say. I mean, I think you had a lot of interesting topics tonight. And, you know, I just, I'm glad I can support the program. And hopefully we'll get on a topic and stay there. All right, good night.
Yeah, well, Mike, in a way, it's good to address many different topics. And listen, we've got Spanish people calling in. We've got the African-American community calling in. We've got white people calling in, you know, and that's what it's all, listen. I'm glad my friend there, Area Code 302, he knows. He said, listen, my black brothers don't even give me this much time to call into their show. So you know what? It just goes to show that this show is what it's all about. And tell your friends, listen, you got something you want to talk about? I don't discriminate against nobody. I may not agree with you, but hey, doesn't mean I'm going to hang up on you and insult you and call you names. You know, and as long as you're not going to call up and be a crank caller and start making talking nonsense. You want to talk logic? You want to talk history? Hey, everyone has their own beliefs. You're more than welcome. But Bitbanker, go ahead. You're the last one, and then I'm going to wrap up the program. Go ahead, Bitbanker.
Bunch of good topics tonight. Bunch of good callers. No, Mike was on a dairy farm, and he got milk from his cows. And I'm willing to bet he could probably take a gallon or two or three or four or ten and do something with it, and nobody would be the wiser because nobody knows what's really there. And the gentleman there about defunding people and stuff, you know, we had a president that shipped a whole C-5 plane load of cash over to another country. You know, where did that cash come from? We print our own currency. Who's to say that, you know, that we're a lot farther in the hole than what they're telling us, because they're printing more and more and more for their own purposes and not telling us. You know, I also have people in my family here. We give donations to Goodwill and everything, and then they write it off on their tax return. And what I want to know is, if anybody has the answer, is when we build this wall between the United States and Mexico, where 900 miles of it or so goes right down the middle of the Rio Grande, how much land are we going to have to give Mexico to build this wall, and how many people are going to have to move? And how many farms are going to be devastated because of this? So what's the economic impact and the actual cost for building this wall? That's what I'd like to know, because they're not going to build a fence right down the middle of the Rio Grande, and they're not going to build it on the Mexican side. So we're going to be losing quite a lot there. And then again, you know, that may be a big write-off somehow for the government to indicate how good they're really doing, when, in fact, they're not doing good at all, just like that post turtle. You know, he got put up there for a reason. So all in all, yeah, I think it was a good show tonight. We didn't have any crank callers, thank God, because they're just wasting their time anyway. But thank you, everyone, and I'll let Joe close the show out.
All right, thanks, everyone. God bless you. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody's opinion matters on this program. Everyone gets a voice, you know, and the callers, listen, you got friends? Say, hey, this guy will listen to what you got to say. And trust me, we got a lot of people that listen into this program, okay? We do. We really do. And it's up to you to make it grow. And I don't benefit from this. You do. I want your stories to be heard out there. I really do. And that's why I pay for this show every month. I don't want to hear my voice heard. I want to hear your voice heard. I'm not like other blog talk shows. Am I trying to get to FM or AM? Trust me, I could set up an FM transmitter. I can get it going, FM, and apply for the next 5 years for an FM license and have an FM show going. You know, but listen, it's not about that. I'm not trying to make a buck here. It's about you. I want to listen to you, and that's all I care about. All right. So I want to say, please tune in Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Email me at joegibsonishome@yahoo.com if I can respond to you, or call me 336-419-7236. You can talk to me. Don't leave me a voicemail. I hate responding to voicemails. I really do. You got to call me when I'm available. I like those old phones. You know, you call and it'd be bah, bah, busy. You know what I mean? I don't. So anyway, I hope everyone's safe out there. I love you for calling in tonight, especially area code 302. Thank you so much. And 443, you were a pleasure to be heard tonight. Thank you very much for calling in. You're awesome. And Mike out in Wisconsin, and Elizabeth Rondo and Wyatt for Connecticut, thank you for your support. Deborah Lewis and Eden, North Carolina, Bridget and Reedsville, many others, so many others that tuned in tonight. Thank you. God bless. Take care. Do the right thing. Take care. Bye.